My name is Michael Doyle, and I'm the editor of Canadian Running Magazine. And on this week's episode, two topics. First up, web editor Sinead Mulhern chats with Brianne Thiessen-Eaton, Canadian record holder in the heptathlon and Olympic bronze medalist, but not about the Olympics or the track, but about her first marathon, where she ran in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and she said it was one of the most difficult challenges of her entire sporting life. And in the second topic, Joan Chung, our producer. Hello, Joan.
Hi, Michael.
You chatted with who this week?
I chatted with the joggler, Mikkel Kaprel.
The joggler. What's joggling?
Joggling is running whilst juggling.
Whilst juggling. And in this case, Mikkel Kaprel tried a feat never before accomplished in the history of the world, and that is juggling a marathon with not one, not two, not three, and not even four, but five balls. How'd it go, Joan?
Well, it didn't quite go as planned, and we chat about what went wrong.
It's a great conversation. Mikkel is a great guy and always entertaining, and the Michael Jordan of juggling.
It's been a little over a week after you've run your first marathon. First question, basically, like, how are you feeling now? How are the legs feeling?
Actually, I recovered surprisingly fast. Like, 2 days later, I went for a 5 mile run and it felt totally fine. I think it was like the initial shock of first finishing the marathon that I was like, whoa, that was like a train hit me. Like, I just didn't expect, you know, I don't know what I expected. I think like having time to reflect on it, I've started to kind of realize, like, you know, when I was training for the Olympics, I was like so finely tuned and I had trained for 10 years. And so nothing was ever really a shock to me when I competed. And so going into the marathon, I was like, oh yeah, this will be nothing. I've trained. And it was like 5 months of training, you know? So of course it was going to be like a little bit different than the Olympics and that I'd probably struggle more, but it was a great, like overall, it was a great experience and I'll probably run another one.
That's funny. Cause I was going to ask you, you know, it is such a different, when you're kind of comparing the marathon training to Olympics, you had also been pretty honest about, like in your Instagram posts about the level of difficulty. And you said that, the last 2 miles, for example, were really, really tough, or the last 4 miles, I think it was. So, yeah. Can you just kind of like rehash what it was like in running like the most difficult spots of the marathon? And was it even worse than what you were expecting?
Yeah. You know, I had some pretty great training runs, but I also had some pretty terrible ones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like during the training runs, I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to stop and walk. You know, so it was just like, when it would hurt, it felt the same as my hard training runs. But the difference was during the race, I was like, I'm not going to stop and walk. Like, I have to finish this. And actually the motivating thing was the last 2 miles, it was in Chicago, was like a long straight stretch of road, and you could see the end, like where that turn was going to be to go up the hill at the end. And nobody would, you know, like everyone around me, there were like hundreds of people around me running and nobody was walking. And I was like, these people are tough as nails. I'm just not, you know, I'm like just way more tired than them. So I that kind of motivated me also, just like looking at the people around me and be like, okay, come on, like they're doing it. You have to be able to keep running. I mean, it was painful to keep running. I think that was the difference.
So would you say then, like, it's kind of funny hearing you say that, because as somebody who's competed, like you're an Olympian, you've competed on the world stage, it's kind of interesting to hear you saying that you're looking around at these like everyday runners who are running the Chicago Marathon. Would you say it was like more difficult then than say like showing up in Rio?
Oh yeah. The marathon was way more difficult than any heptathlon I've ever done. Like, maybe not mentally, you know, mentally, like I trained for 10 years for the heptathlon.
Right.
So it felt like a lot more riding on it, or there was a lot more riding on the Olympics and the heptathlon. So mentally, maybe like the pressure and stuff was way more tough at the Olympics, but physically, like, that's kind of what I was trying to get at. I was so finely tuned and like in super good shape to be able to do the heptathlon at the Olympics and the marathon. I was like, I wasn't ready for it. I was as ready as I could be. And I think as ready as like any, you know, just recreational runner like myself who does a marathon is for something like that. Like they'll be able to get through it, but it's going to be a struggle. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's what people don't realize is that like, I'm just like everybody else. Like, yeah, I have an Olympic medal, but I've never done a marathon before. So I'm like every average Joe who just gets off the couch and is like, oh yeah, the marathon's on my bucket list. I'm going to go do it, you know? And like,
yeah.
Yeah. So for me to be like looking around at people, I was actually thinking like, you know what? I would like to know what these people are thinking because maybe that would help me because I would just like, honestly, like the last couple of miles, I was almost just like had a negative mindset. I was like, I can't do this. This is so hard. Is this worth mm-hmm. it? You know, like all this stuff. And I thought, am I the only one that thinks negatively like that? Like at the end. So I actually talked right. to a couple of people after who was their first marathon. They were like, oh no, I was thinking the same thing. So but you get past it pretty quickly.
Was Ashton in the crowd? I think that you said that he was going to be there supporting you. Like, was any of the cheering at the sidelines of help or what was kind of the story there?
Yeah, he was there. Actually, if anyone who's running a marathon should do this, we shared our locations on our phones. So,
okay.
Like where I was during the race. And I would look at my phone every once in a while and like see, okay, where is he? Like, is he along the course somewhere? But the funny thing is, friends of ours run marathons all the time and they were saying like, Ashton, as a spectator, you need to make sure you are where you say you're going to be because she'll be for you. And I was like, oh, it's not a big deal, Ash. Like if you can only make it to two like spots, that's okay. And he's like, no, I'm going to make it to three. And on that third one, well, I was looking for him. I'm like, where is he? Where? You know, I was just like delirious. I was like, he needs to be here. Where is he? And then it was just like so funny because normally I wouldn't care. But when you're just like hurting so bad to see like a friendly face, it's just like, oh, okay, you're still there and I'm still alive and everything's going to be okay. But yeah, so I got to see him four times.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was good.
So then what was it like at the start line? Like I'm getting, okay, so the last bit was a struggle and obviously you're pretty much like every other distance runner who, when you get out there, you realize how much you really need the support. Were you really nervous about the start line or were you confident in your training or a mix of both? Like what was that kind of like? And like, how do those nerves compare to like the start line of any of your other events in the past?
I wasn't nervous at all. Maybe that was my problem. I think I was more confident than I should have been, for sure. I don't know. See, like, I didn't know what to compare it to. Like, and this is probably, like, very naive of me, but I thought, okay, I did the training. I'm ready to go. And I expected it to be, like, as physically easy as maybe the Olympics because at the Olympics, I was so well-trained. Mm-hmm. I wasn't nervous at all. And also, like, I mean, there was nothing on the line. Like it didn't matter how I did. And I think that like helped with like the lack of nerves. I would say I got more nervous at like three quarters of the way through the race than I was at the start line. And I was like, oh man, this is starting to hurt. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do another like 10K or 15K or whatever. But yeah, the start line was just really fun. I mean, I was in the first wave of people to go. So after the gun went, I think we eventually crossed the start line 20 minutes later. And it was just like really cool at the beginning because there's a ton of people running and you're just sort of in a crowd and you're weaving through the city. So the first half marathon was like really great and fun. And I like got to see everything. The second half, like I kept saying, I'm so excited to go through Chinatown and see the dancing dragons. And I missed the race. And I was like, said to Ashton, I didn't go through Chinatown. And he was like, Brianne, yes, you did. That's where you told me the first time. And I was like, I don't remember. Like the last three quarters of the race, I just like don't remember anything really.
Yeah, that's pretty common too. I've definitely had that experience as well. Something I wanted to know, you posted something about your dad being inspired to run a marathon now, and you were saying that at the finish line, you're like a lot of runners said, okay, I'm never going to do a marathon again, but now you might be running one with your dad.
Yeah, he actually said my last long training run was 20 miles or 32K training. Uh-huh. And he had been like following my training the whole time and asking how it was going. And after the 20 mile run, I texted him and said it was awesome. You know, I think that was like the highest point of the marathon training for me, because I remember looking at the training and thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to run 20 miles. There's no way. And like to mm-hmm. do it really easy in training, I was like, this is really cool. Like I accomplished something really big, because I just never thought that I'd be able to do that. And mm-hmm. I think that inspired him, and he was like, you know what, I'd like to maybe try doing this. And yeah, so we're trying to figure out what marathon we're going to do next year, and he's going to start training for it. And then he was like, well, if you're not going to do it, I don't want to do it. And I was like, no, I'll do it with you. So that's why. Yeah, I think it would be really fun to run it with him. And my mom wants to do a half marathon, and we volunteered my sister to run with her, even though she doesn't.
Oh, good. Volunteered her to do it. Do you have a really athletic family, or was it just you who took to sports, or what are your parents like?
I mean, both my parents played high school sports growing up. My dad played a lot of hockey. My mom did track and basketball and all that, but they never really did anything past high school.
Interesting. So now you're kind of getting your dad motivated to do the endurance with you. Well, I guess both of them.
Yeah, I just think it's like, I don't know. I feel like a marathon is on a lot of people's bucket list. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was so just like out of whack at the end of it. I was like, I don't understand why people want to do that, you know? And then after, like, now that I've had time to think about it, I'm like, you know what? That's kind of crazy. Like, not many people can do that. So,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I think that's why he wants to do it, to be able to, like, just to see if your body is able to do it. And yeah, that's the crazy, that's like part of the thing, like finishing at the end and seeing all these people, like all different shapes and sizes and backgrounds, and they're all like able to finish this marathon. And I think that mm-hmm. is like, whether they're walking or sprinting or just jogging, you know, it's like, that's what's cool. So I'd love to see him like challenge himself and be able to finish it.
It's kind of funny, because we spoke maybe a couple months ago when you were into your training and you had made the announcement that you were going to run Chicago. And one of the things that you said, which I thought was really funny, was, when I suck, people are going to say, what's wrong with her? She's an Olympic athlete. And I know that you were a little bit like nervous about what people would think of your overall time. So now that it's said and done, like, how did people actually react? Because you ran a great time.
Yeah, I don't even know how people reacted. I just got over that, you know. If people were like, oh wow, that's not that good for her or whatever, it's like, I don't care if you think that, you know, like, it's yeah. Like, I don't know, to some point it's like, I was just doing it for myself and to raise money and stuff like that, so it wasn't about mm-hmm. like trying to be the best or run a fast time or care about what other people thought. And I think that's hard for people, and it was hard for me, but in the end I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Good. And then kind of like a couple of quick questions about the actual day. I was curious about, like, you know, did you carb load the night before, and what was your pre-race meal?
You know what? For the three days all before, I was in bed sick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was so weird. I've never got a migraine headache in my life. I had one for 3 days straight, and just like the chills and body aches and like shaky feelings. So, yeah, the night before, I just like ordered room service and laid in bed, and I was asleep by probably 5 that night.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I was like, this is really going to suck trying to run a marathon, but if I feel like this, but I felt fine race day. So I don't know what, I mean, that's probably not what I would do, you know, if I wasn't sick, but I had chicken and noodles and like broccoli or something like that the night before. And then the morning of, I just, what I've been doing in my training runs is just, I usually eat, people think I'm nuts, but I'll usually eat like half an hour before I go for my run.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I just packed like a peanut butter banana sandwich and like ate it while we were in the start corrals that morning. And then just had like coffee and then during the race, just like my goos and Gatorade and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And then did you do anything special to celebrate after? Like, did you go for a special meal or were you still kind of feeling not so good at the finish line?
Aside from just being like extremely sore, like I didn't feel sick or anything like that. I had a beer and some pizza and then went back to the hotel and showered. And my best friend and college roommate is from Chicago, so we actually went to her parents' house for dinner that night. So that was...
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know that you and Ashton had been talking about future running goals and that you've been, like, even in this conversation, you've mentioned that you will be doing another marathon. What else do you guys have planned?
We just moved to San Francisco, so we're just getting settled in here. And in November, we're going to the New York City Marathon.
Excellent.
Yeah, we've been doing some stuff with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, and they have like a group that runs for raising money for blood cancer called Team in Training. So we're going to go and run the 10K there with some of their runners, like the first 10K with their runners that are running the full marathon in New York. So that will be cool. Who knows? Maybe my dad and I will do New York next year because, I mean, I've done Chicago and I've heard New York is awesome. So we'll see.
Nice. And how is, just out of curiosity, like how is the training going for the two of you? I mean, you've just come off a marathon. So you guys are aiming to do 10K together. What's kind of like the running schedule looking like right now?
My plan is just to ride it out for another 2 weeks.
Yes.
Just like, you know, it's more about just like getting to run with the people who are with the Team in Training, people who have either been like had family members or personally been affected by blood cancer. So I mean, I'll just probably run with some people. I'm not trying to run super fast or anything. And I don't know what Ashton's doing. He actually said the other day, man, we have to run 6 miles. So probably do something. I was like, yeah, you probably should.
It's funny. And you're like, yeah, I just came off a marathon. 6 miles is so much shorter.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, only 6 miles. Oh, yeah, that's no problem.
And out of curiosity, like why that caused, do you have kind of like a personal connection to that charity, either of you?
Yeah, my grandfather died a couple of years ago from leukemia.
I see.
Yeah, and also that's like the most personal one for me, but my sister is a pediatric nurse, so she works with a lot of kids with leukemia and lymphoma. So I just hear a lot of stories from her also, and just know that it affects a lot of people and a lot of families, and it's just, you know, it sucks and it's really tough. So being able to like bring awareness, or, you know, just have people be able to give back in a way that is also, you know, beneficial for their health. Like, you can go climb Kilimanjaro with Leukemia Lymphoma Society and run marathons and triathlons and Ironmans, and I don't know, it's just really cool. Like, if you love doing that stuff already, why not do it and be able to like help support somebody else who's struggling? So I think it's just a cool way to do it.
Okay. And so before I let you go, obviously I want to ask about the big move to San Francisco. You guys are in the process of moving right now. What kind of brought on this change, and what are you most looking forward to about this new chapter?
We just needed to get out of Oregon. Ashton's lived there his whole life. So just having a change of pace and scenery. We wanted to live in the city before we had kids and just do like the fun city stuff, like go to concerts and out for dinner and drinks and things like that. And then just, it's a great place with like just the culture here, and we're both like entrepreneurial and thinking of what we want to do next, and just figured this was a great place to kind of do that.
And so you arrived just a few days ago at your new place?
Yeah, not even a week ago we moved in. We're still kind of collecting furniture. I mean, we basically sit on chairs in our living room waiting for So we're just settling in, figuring out where our grocery store is and the public transportation and all that kind of stuff.
Great, great. Okay, Brian, well, thank you so much and congratulations on your marathon. And I guess we'll be tracking you again in New York, you and Ashton.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're here with Mikael Caprell, fresh off his attempt to run the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon while juggling five balls. As it turned out, the attempt didn't go as planned, but we'll get into that a bit later. First of all, Mikael, welcome.
Thank you.
For those of you who don't know Mikael, he is well known for juggling usually three balls, has the half marathon juggling and full marathon juggling records, as well as the 10K no drop juggling record. He ran Chicago last year and juggled that and didn't drop any balls there. So how did you come to the idea of running with five balls this year?
It's very similar to something like the Barclay Marathons, which is considered one of the hardest races in the world, if not the most difficult. Only a few people have finished it. It's a 100-mile race, five loops of about 20 miles in Tennessee.
Right.
And almost nobody has finished it in the several decades that it's been run. So this was really kind of like the Barclay Marathons of the juggling world. No one is known to have run every step of a marathon juggling five. There's a guy who years ago ran the New York City Marathon, apparently juggling five the whole time, but there's no one was there to document him actually going the full way. So I'm not sure if he did, but he took 7 hours and 7 minutes for it.
Wow.
And he was known to be a fast runner and an excellent juggler. So, and there's another guy named Barry Goldmeier who has juggled portions of several marathons, juggling five. So he was kind of one of my original inspirations for trying five for the marathon, but following the Guinness World Record rules, say if you drop a ball, you have to go back behind the drop point,
right?
You have to be juggling every step of the way forward. So for me, it was just, I had a thought about doing this five ball thing. I found a blog post of mine 10 years ago after I set the current three ball juggling marathon record in 2007 at the Toronto Waterfront. And I wrote something about, I wonder if I could ever do five for the marathon. And so I guess I've been thinking about it for 10 years now. And I was on CBC Metro Morning with Matt Galloway and just kind of blurted out that I would do the marathon this fall with five. So I kind of...
You committed then.
I kind of committed,
right.
Yeah. So I wanted to follow through on that. And so I started training.
And let's talk a bit about your training. How difficult did you find the transition from three balls to five balls? And I mean, in terms of running, obviously, as a standalone runner, you're very talented and you've run several races with very fast times without juggling. How much of the running versus how much of the juggling did you have to incorporate into your new training plan?
Right. So the new training plan involved almost all of it was the technique of running and juggling five. Three balls, you can pretty much match your running stride perfectly while juggling to your regular running stride. And I knew that stepping up to five would not necessarily impress people to the extent of how difficult it is. So I knew doing this that it would just be for me. Like when I was training in my neighborhood, people couldn't even tell the difference between three and five. Mm-hmm. But the challenge of it is, I don't know what the exact number is, but it's probably 20 or 30 times harder than three to keep that pattern going while you're running. And yeah, like I would drop the ball and some of my neighbors walking by would be like, oh, you dropped a ball. I've never seen you drop before. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm juggling five now, but nobody can really tell. So my training was pretty much almost all of it actually was a 100-meter stretch in my neighborhood or on a track going back and forth over and over again, just trying to time my 100 meters and try not to drop and see how far I could go without dropping. I hoped to have built that up to regularly go 400 meters without dropping, which would have been 105 drops for the marathon. And I did go 400 meters several times in training without dropping, but for the most part, I got much better at it, but I still would have to stop or drop about every 100 meters. So that would be 422 stops or drops for the marathon, which I thought was still, you know, feasible. I calculated the time of it, and it would take, you know, 5 or 10 seconds to kind of regroup after a drop. But I was really happy with the training. Like, I loved the training.
Right.
It was a mix. It was like half of it was so frustrating, and there was a lot of swearing. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't wait to get out there and work on it, because it's the five ball pattern is really beautiful. You have essentially like three. You toss three very high in the air, and then you just add in the other two. So it's a really cool looking pattern. And to get it going while you're running, it really felt like, I don't know, it felt like beautiful.
We heard after the race that you had a hand injury while you were racing. And so we're wondering, was this something you were aware of? Like, how bad was the injury going into the race? And did you think it was manageable as you lined up to the start?
Yeah, I didn't actually have the hand injury before the race. So the whole time I trained, I didn't have any problem with my hands or anything like that. I was injury free going in, and I felt pretty good overall. But the hand thing, I think, was the result of me just scrambling around and trying to keep a juggling pattern going that was kind of falling apart with all the pressure and the crowds at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I did something to it, and I thought it was just a cramp at first, but then it got worse and worse and worse pretty quickly. It was pretty early on in the race, and it got really bad. And it turned out that it was a muscle tear.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So let's go to the race itself. Spoiler alert, you got about to 17K and decided to abandon the juggling aspect of the race. So you're at that point in the race, and what's going through your head at the time?
Well, at around 15 or 16K, things had really, really fallen apart. And my spotter friend, joggling rival, actually, Zach Warren, had flown in from DC, where he lives, to help me out. And it was just the two of us. So by that point, I think around by 14, 15K, we're heading east along Lakeshore, and all of the walkers had passed us at that point, because I was just juggling maybe 5 or 10 meters at a time, and then stopping. Everything hurt, but especially my left hand. So I was just thinking how funny it was that I looked behind me, and there was a line of about 9 police cars with flashing lights just waiting for me. And up ahead were the final walkers that I could see off in the distance. And I remember thinking, I'm in last place in this entire marathon.
Wow.
And I knew that I wasn't going to get through the whole thing. Although Zach was like, my flight doesn't leave till tomorrow morning, so we're going to get this done. I don't care how long it takes. But it did hit the point where I couldn't catch the balls anymore. So I just saw the 17 kilometer marker up ahead and just went until basically I couldn't throw the beanbags anymore, and then stopped right at the 17K. And when Zach got there behind me, I said, joggler out.
Joggler out. And at that point, was there any thought of just bailing on the race altogether, or did you know that you could run it without juggling?
Yeah, I wanted to bail on the race for sure, because I was just completely zonked. My arms and legs, and like, I was just, my energy was so completely sapped. But Zach just, he said, come on, we're just going to get the marathon done.
Yeah.
So we start running, and there's a point where you split off and can finish up the half marathon. So even though I told Zach, I was like still thinking I'm just going to bail.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the half, but I ran into my parents and my sister were at the half marathon, near the half mark, and I stopped there and talked to them, and then my mom says, "Well, you know they're going to shut the course down, because they're literally shutting the course down behind us."
Right.
And Zach goes, "Well, we have like about 2 hours to finish the second half. So two hour half marathon. Let's do it." So off we went.
It seems like you had a pretty positive experience. I mean, as you're crossing the finish line, I'm sure there were a lot of emotions going through your head. Can you just walk us through those last couple kilometers crossing the finish line? What were your thoughts in terms of the attempt of the five ball joggling marathon and having to abandon the balls and keep running to the finish? What was going through your head at that time?
Well, the end is bittersweet. Kind of embarrassing to go through this kind of public, very public implosion of this record attempt. And I had raised money for the Sick Kids Foundation, and a lot of people, friends, and a lot of people I didn't know donated. So I was feeling like I let them down. But I was glad that we finished the marathon just to be able to do it. And thrilled that we made it in before the race closed. And we ran close to a 2 hour negative split. So pretty close to a negative split time of the marathon world record, which I think there were a lot of maybe firsts that this stupid thing I decided to do created, you know, first possibly a hand injury to have someone withdraw from from a marathon attempt. And I was just thinking, like, I've won a few marathons and have run behind the police escorts up front.
Right.
And this time I got the experience of running with the police escorts in the back. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if anyone else has had that kind of experience.
That's true.
So it was lots of emotions at the end there.
Right, absolutely.
And I juggled in the last few meters with five. And actually, two of my balls hit the sign on the top. So had a good final drop at the end.
So I know it's only been a few days since the race, and you're probably still in recovery mode. But what's next for you? I mean, as I mentioned earlier, you have the world record in the half and the full for joggling, and you've raced distances from the 800 meter as well as a beer mile joggling. What's next for you? I mean, both with your running and also with the joggling in itself.
Well, people have asked if I'm going to try another time for the five ball marathon or try a half, and my immediate response is no way, I'm not trying that again. But I have said that. I said that about trying to regain the three ball record. And, you know, like Gary Robbins is one of my running heroes, and seeing him at the Barkley have trouble on one the first time he did it and then almost make it the second time. So, you know, I guess I won't say never for another five ball attempt, but I'll need to work on my technique a lot. And apart from that, I don't know. I'm going to regroup, and I don't see myself stopping to push whatever limits. A lot of people wonder why I do it, these kinds of things, and why don't I just go and run regular races. But it's kind of something that I started and I just want to keep going with. So whenever I think I'm done, some other idea pops into my head. So I'll just wait to see what jumps into my mind.
Well, thank you, Mikkel, for sharing your very unique and interesting experience with our listeners. And we wish you a very speedy recovery.
Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe to the Shakeout Podcast at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Music, And make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, as well as on Facebook.